celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves. Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year. And while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Faster Utah is proactive about school safety. For more information, fasterutah.org.
Nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside at Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
Play safe on the water. In Utah, youth 12 to 17 must pass an approved safety class prior to operating personal watercraft on Utah waters. Classes are offered statewide. Register now or get more information by calling 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Camping in the mountains, fishing in a stream. The great outdoors is where you want to be.
Mr. Clint Nash joins us once again with the Utah Giant Pumpkin Growers. Thank you for taking a few minutes with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always great to talk with you.
Always an honor to have you on the program. We're very excited about the upcoming season. And in fact, it feels like spring already. We were just talking a few minutes ago, and it wasn't too many years ago it felt like this, and we planted peas on Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I mean, you just never know what you're going to get, and this year we got a really mild winter. So, yeah, I mean, kind of take advantage where we can, right?
Exactly, and it also builds a little nitrogen into the soil and get a little harvest before you even put the pumpkins in the ground.
Yeah, that is true. So, yeah, another advantage. So, yeah, it's definitely been a different winter for sure.
Now, we are getting very excited. Even though it is wintertime still officially, we are getting very excited about the upcoming spring and summer. And we're especially excited because there's a new opportunity that's landing here in the Salt Lake area.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of off-season as far as, like, especially the giant veggie growing season. But you're gardening in general here in this area, and so I know a lot of gardeners in general get their plans set and prep and everything. And for the giant veggie growing, giant pumpkin growing, yeah, we have the GPC, Great Pumpkin Commonwealth, has a convention every year around, you know, early March. And this year they're doing it right here in Salt Lake City.
That is exciting. That's really exciting to me. This is the first time it's ever been here in the Salt Lake area. And again, the top growers from around the world will be right here at our doorsteps.
Yep, I just talked to the world record holder from England last night, and he's excited to be here. And he will also be giving away a couple of his world record seeds to kids, he said. He's excited to give a couple away to some younger growers and stuff. So, but yeah, there'll be growers from, you know, I've talked to some from Germany and England and all across the country, you know, Massachusetts and kind of the other side of the country in Washington and, you know, a bunch of us here locally, hopefully, and it should be a fun time, yeah.
It really should. And the neat thing is you have opportunities to ask questions. You have an opportunity to learn from the best of the best and really up your game. I mean, Utah is a challenging area, so not everything is applicable, but there is a heck of a lot we can learn from everybody.
Yeah, there really is. And, you know, some of these presentations will be, so we're even going to have a presentation kind of the psychology of growing and gardening and that hobby in general, the ups and downs and everything. So something that a lot of people can relate to that have put a lot of effort and time and money into it. So I'm really excited for some of the other speakers that will be doing presentations.
That particular discussion, I think, is very important, actually. You know, it's mentally taxing and sometimes devastating. You put your whole soul and life into it for a summer, and then something crazy happens at the very end. Bugs get to it, or suddenly it starts wilting, or a hailstorm comes on it, and it makes you really mentally tough to get through this.
Yeah, really. I mean, I know for me, I started gardening to have fresh ingredients to make salsa. I used to sell my salsa at the farmer's market. And then I got introduced into the giant pumpkin growing world. I've had different issues. I mean, huge issue with squash bugs and stuff. And I went a stretch of 8 years where I didn't have a pumpkin at the end of the year. And then the next year, I finally had one. It was my biggest pumpkin ever. Looked fine. We lifted it up, and there was a hole underneath it. Little tiny hole, just big enough to where it didn't officially count. But, you know, then there's the big ups, too, when you put a pumpkin on there and it's way heavier than expected. And then you feel validated for all this time and effort and everything that you put into it. So,
and even last year, you had a really tough time with the giant sunflower. You probably had the state record. And then it actually was an accident that happened while you were trying to prepare it to not get broken.
Yeah, I had one. It was over 20 feet tall and still growing. And then I was trying to support it, and as I tried to do that, I accidentally snapped it up top. So, yeah, that was sad.
That's tough. It's crazy. But then again, who thinks, you know, in my eyes, I go, well, I don't think I'll ever need that ladder that big.
And then,
I can make this work, and I'm trying not to get it snapped off. That's got to be heartbreaking, and then some.
Yeah, I mean, I built my trellis mostly for gourds, and I added a little thing for sunflowers. You know, it's 11 feet tall, which seemed great. But then I didn't think I would ever need one 20 feet tall either, so, yeah. But one of the things of this, it's, I still try to enjoy it. I just love to be out there, you know, like on a summer night when you're done doing the work and that, and just kind of hang out there and relax and just try to soak in and enjoy it, because you never do know what's going to happen in the end, but it's still fun. It can still be really enjoyable and everything.
I've often related it to the fly fishing of gardening, because you really got to fine tune those skills. You got to watch everything very carefully. Everything matters. And you become very hypersensitive about almost anything. I mean, if you see a bug or a spot or something's not right, if you don't pick up on it quick, it gets out of hand, and then you lost your opportunity.
Yeah, I like that analogy, because I do love to fish, and I am not very good at fly fishing, so it is a lot more technical. So, yeah, I like that analogy, because it really is. It's crazy how one little thing here or there can just throw everything off. Sometimes it all just fits perfect, and then it's just, you know, the joy of seeing that happen is fun.
It's remarkable. I've watched a lot of neat things happen over the last couple decades, and growers here in the state of Utah are starting to really dial it in. They're starting to figure out a lot of stuff that we thought was the science years ago. We've kind of dismissed a lot of things. We're adapting new technologies and new ways of doing things, and it's amazing. I mean, I never dreamed we'd see a 2,000-pound pumpkin in the state of Utah, and then we've passed that, you know, and then we're moving on to bigger and bigger weight. It's remarkable. There's so much knowledge within this organization. It's not at all like it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, when I first got introduced to this group, the possibilities of these giant pumpkins, I still remember the first 1,000-pound pumpkin and just how amazing that was here in Utah. And like you said, for years and years, I really didn't know that there was a chance we could grow a 2,000-pound pumpkin. And now we've had multiple that big, that heavy. So, yeah, it really is exciting to see. And even now last year, the first 2,000-pound pumpkin in Idaho we had at the Gateway way off. So broke the old Idaho record by 600 pounds. So definitely some things are being figured out in the area, yeah.
And I really love the fact that these weigh-offs have become such a huge deal that it's becoming kind of the mecca for all the surrounding states, too.
Yeah, it's really fun. We've been trying to grow them the last few years and just share our hobby with everyone else. And that time of year is so fun, fall, the harvest. It's been fun to see how much they've all grown and just the fun that we've had with the community.
We got three major weigh-offs in the fall right now. We got the State Fair Park, we got one in downtown Salt Lake City, and I think the king of all the weigh-offs has traditionally been the one up in Logan the last few years.
Yeah, the prize money keeps growing. We keep getting people to help with that, sponsors and everything, so it's been really fun to see that grow. I'm not sure what it's going to be this year yet, but it has grown each year the last couple years. Last year, the winner took home $5,000 for the biggest pumpkin, so that was great.
I love the fact that the dollars are coming in, that the growers are seeing the respect they deserve, because it is a lot of effort. It's a lot of money and a lot of effort that comes into these things, and it's remarkable. They deserve every penny and then some.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. Fun to know that here in this area that we have generated that amount of prize money is really fun, and multiple layoffs even. So
it's really cool that there are three weigh-offs, and a lot of people go, well, why do you need three weigh-offs? If you don't get it weighed on the scales when it's ready, it either goes south or it something can go wrong and it won't ever get on the scale.
Yeah, and that fair weigh-off is, it's a little bit later this year, but it is pretty early for us. The audience that we're able to connect with at the state fair, they have over 100,000 people that come through that state fair. It's just fun that they've allowed us to have a little tent there and display the pumpkins throughout the fair. And it's just, even though the pumpkins are normally a little smaller then, because all the pumpkins are still growing for most people that time of year, it is still fun that they've let us do that. We are already making plans for that one to keep it growing. And then the one up in Logan, of course, we have so many growers from Wyoming, especially western Wyoming, and then so many from Idaho, especially the east side of Idaho. The Logan location is a lot closer for them, so it's fun to kind of cater to them a little bit, too, and have one a little bit further north. And then the Gateway in Salt Lake, fun being one of the only urban way-offs around the world, even, and for people further south here to have a closer way-off. So, yeah, I really am happy with how all of them are evolving and growing, and it's really fun to see.
Each different way-off has such a different personality. One has a really heavy Halloween vibe to it, and one has kind of a fall festival vibe, and the other one, it is the state fair, which has its own merits there, too.
You get a little variety with all of them, and it is fun to see how different they can be. And yeah, it's just been really fun connecting with the community and getting word out to people for anybody that may want to try this. It's fun to get that out there.
I sure am getting excited for spring coming up our way, and I'm real excited for these conferences. And let's go back to the conference that we were just talking about a few minutes ago. This is going to be huge. It's right here in Salt Lake City, and now's the time to reserve your spot or register so you can be part of the big activities.
Yeah, the GPC conference, we have a spring seminar later in March, a local one. That one's free. We're going to have a lot of fun there and exchange a lot of info and everything. This one is so in-depth. It's just, and like I said, we'll have people from around the world, the best pumpkin growers and giant veggie growers from around the world. The list of people giving presentations, their titles, is also fun to see. We're going to have a soil scientist there. We're going to have a plant pathologist there. We're going to have a professor of crop physiology. We're going to have a neurologist. We're going to have greenhouse experts, really in-depth. And even for people that may have never done this before, if you have done any gardening at all, you're going to find some really useful info in these presentations.
You're exactly right. I remember visiting with Wallace, one of the top growers on the East Coast, and he said if you can grow a giant pumpkin, you could probably solve a lot of the world's hunger problems. Because if you can figure and dial in a giant pumpkin, you could probably make anything grow with a little extra time to dial in the additional things for that specific plant.
Yeah, it's true. And I didn't realize when I first started growing these, I'd grown a few other things. You put the seeds in there, you water it, and you keep the weeds down. And there's a lot to this. These plants are so amazingly strong, and the fruits grow so fast. But they're also very fragile. One little thing off can make such a big difference, or even your plant can be gone within a few days if something hits it just right, either a fungus or some bug. So there's definitely a science to it. But that's what makes the challenge of it and everything. That's one of the things I love the most about it, is just that challenge of getting all that right and how complex it is, and pretty fun to try to figure that out.
And it's not just dumping a bunch of stuff on the ground or dumping a lot of fertilizer. You got to dial in the micro minerals, and too much is just as bad as too little.
Yeah, there's like a sweet spot for a lot of this where if you put too much, I've learned that the hard way a couple times. They're like, well, I guess if I just put more and more and more, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But that's not necessarily the case. You're trying to find a little sweet spot between all of this.
And that's what it's all about. You got to know what you're doing, and testing. A lot of the top growers will always do soil tests, they'll do tissue tests. They're constantly monitoring everything. They're monitoring when they fertilize. They water certain times a day, many times a day. You got to keep the sun off. You got to keep it so it doesn't get too cold at night. There's a lot involved in this. It's like raising a kid.
It does kind of feel like you have a toddler again for a few months. Because it really is. I mean, that's kind of what makes it fun to me. And I know people that grow these pumpkins that don't garden a lot otherwise. A lot of us do garden a lot otherwise, but some of them, they just like the science of it, or they like something about it where this is the only thing they grow because of that challenge.
If you're going to talk about fishing again, going to Alaska and catching the big salmon and then coming back here and you're going, well,
I guess I'll catch a few little rainbows out of the community pond. You know, it's just not the same after you've done that.
Yeah. That's a really fun hobby. And, you know, this convention, it's just going to be so much fun for so many reasons. But the presentations, if anything interests you gardening-wise or just anything to do with plants and growing, you're going to find some really interesting thing in these presentations. And then the other part, like we talked about, is just the camaraderie and just meeting some of these growers from around the world and talking to them. The conventions I've been to, that's been one of my favorite parts, is just being able to mingle with them. And you know, both nights, Friday and Saturday night, you'll have some time where you can mingle with the other growers and just find out what one of the best growers in Wisconsin or in Connecticut or Oregon does. It gives you an idea of what you can maybe put into your plan and everything. So a lot of valuable things at this convention. So
I'm glad you said that, because it is more than just information you'll be getting. You have some fun events and fun activities scheduled as well.
My pumpkin from last year was a little over 1,260 pounds, and we were trying to save it over the winter to carve it at the convention and then drop it at the end of the convention. And sadly, it went down. It started going down about a week ago, so it's not going to make it till March, sadly. But we do have some other fun things planned. They're wanting to do like an Olympic theme. Some of the games we'll be doing and stuff. This area is known for the Olympics from around the world, and also we have the Winter Olympics coming up just before the convention, too. So there's going to be some fun things, some fun activities. And
looking forward to checking that out. If folks want to sign up, if they want to learn more about it, where do they go?
Go to gpc1.org, and from there you'll see on the homepage, you'll see the link to the 2026 Utah TPC convention. You'll just click on there and a few steps and you'll be registered. And it's not the cheapest convention you'll ever go to. It's not too bad though. It's right around $200. But the thing I'm thinking of this time is I went last year to Wisconsin. I had to book a flight, a rental car, hotel room. And here you definitely could stay in a hotel right at a convention or near the convention. But for a lot of us, if you're within driving distance of Salt Lake, you're going to save all the other expenses, and it's going to be the cheapest, best possibility to ever go to one of these conventions. So if you've ever heard of this, or if you're just hearing it right now and think it might be fun to go to that once, this is definitely the one you want to go to if you live anywhere near here.
This is going to be incredible. I am so excited that you've been able to bring these folks here to our doorsteps and showcase our beautiful area. And this is really going to ignite some excitement in the growing community here.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Some of these people coming from Europe or other parts of the country have reached out, and they're going to come for a few extra days. So it is fun. We're going to try to do a ski day earlier in the week. We're going to do a Moab day. You do like a sledding day, an ice fishing day. So some of the people coming from out of town that want to experience all that we have to offer here in Utah can get a little glimpse of that and have a little fun outside of the convention too.
That is cool. That is really cool. Again, I'm very excited about the upcoming growing season. I'm excited about the educational opportunities coming around the corner. Anything else you want to share or wrap up with?
We always love to see new faces. So if you've ever thought about this or you're just hearing about this and it sounds interesting, don't be afraid. Come, and we're happy to answer any questions we can. Come to any of these events, and we'd love to have you. And it's always a fun time to see new people. Come and join us.
It's especially cool when I see first-time growers attend a conference and then they start growing, and then you see them on the stage with huge pumpkins. It's really cool to see that happen.
It is. Last year, 700 plus pound pumpkin. I'd never done that. Came to the seminar and everything, and it was, it's so fun to see.
Website one more time?
UtahPumpkinGrowers.com.
Check it out. Mr. Clint Nash joining us once again with the Utah Giant Pumpkin Growers. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me. It's always great.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Don't let your next family outing end in tragedy. Don't drink and ride. Driving an OHV under the influence of alcohol is no different than driving your car under the influence of alcohol. Law enforcement officers will be out checking riders and operators of OHVs. You could end up seeing jail time, loss of driver's license, the same stiff penalties that apply to operating a car. This message is from the Utah Division of Parks and Recreation. Ride responsibly.
Be prepared at home this winter season. Keep an emergency supply kit easily available that includes a battery-powered radio with extra batteries, canned food, and a manual can opener. Keep readily available some flashlights and battery-powered lamps, fuel for generators, and extra wood for the fireplace. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities,
yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
For the latest snowmobile grooming reports and current snowmobile conditions throughout the state, check out www.snowut.com. Grooming schedules are posted and conditions and snow depths are updated weekly. There is also a link to the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center so you can get all of your snowmobile information in one spot. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
When you look at the number of disasters in the U.S., chances are every area will deal with some kind of emergency in the next decade. And between school, sports, and social lives, chances are you won't be with your kids when it happens. Will they know what to do? Ready.gov/kids has the educational tools and information to make the conversation easy. When the time comes, chances are they'll feel prepared, not scared. So talk with your family today.
Did you know that excessive speed is a leading cause of snowmobile crashes? Sure, a burst of speed can be thrilling, but don't put yourself in danger. Keep your speed reasonable for the conditions. Keep control at all times and be ready to react. At night, slow down even more to avoid overdriving your headlights. It's simple. Slow down and come back alive. Brought to you by the American Council of Snowmobile Associations and the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Highway Administration.
Visit snowmobileinfo.org.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Mr. Conrad Richter joins us once again with Richter's Herbs. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, and thank you very much for having me back. I always enjoy being with you and talking about my favorite topic about herbs, so thank you for bringing me back.
I know there's always new things you're bringing into the catalog, including this year. There's been some changes with the basils. You've actually got some really innovative ones that are quite resistant to powdery mildew, as I understand it.
That's right. In recent years, there's been quite a problem with disease. It's actually a type of fungus called powdery mildew, and it is really devastating on basil. And you can have a beautiful crop of basil one day, and almost the next day, you see the plants turning yellow, and within a few days, almost wilted and dying off. A number of years ago, the largest grower of fresh basil and basil for the processing industry in the United States, they grow like hundreds and hundreds of acres of basil every year. Well, a number of years ago, they suffered enormous basil loss when all of a sudden this powdery mildew landed on their crops, and within days, the crop was lost. It is a fungus that is in the air and can spread hundreds of miles, thousands of miles, in fact, and during the middle of the summer. And even if you do the best you can to avoid getting these spores on your basil plants, it's almost actually impossible to do if they're outside. So this company, the one that suffered these enormous losses, decided to work with Rutgers University and bring in out varieties that have been bred to resist the downy mildew. And what they did was they crossed the regular basil with some of the species of basils like lemon basil, which are not so susceptible to the downy mildew. And they were successful in introducing whatever genes that are in the resistant types, like the lemon basils, like the lime basils and others. They were successful in getting those genes into the regular sweet basils. And it's remarkable what they've done. These plants now are way more resistant. They're not 100% resistant, but you will not lose your basil crop. Even if the spores, for whatever reason, are flying through the air and landing on your plant, these varieties are capable of resistance. So there are two varieties that we added this year from that program. Now, one is called Passion Basil, and the other one's called Obsession Basil. Those two, both of them developed by Rutgers University. And for those who have ever had that heartbreaking experience of seeing your basil plants just keel over in the middle of summer when they look the best, when they look like they're just ready to harvest, and all of a sudden they die off, I encourage you to try these new basils. You'll have a much better success with them.
Well, this is exciting news. I mean, this is a game changer to growers who like to bring them to market.
Absolutely. What growers have had to do, these are professional growers, have had to do, let's say potted plant growers, they had to be very, very careful to control the environmental conditions to try to minimize the risk of downy mildew setting in on their crop. So they would, for example, keep the humidity low, and they would make sure to only water the soil rather than water the whole plant. And a lot of people, when they water plants, they think the idea is to water not only the soil around the plant, but also give a splash of water all over the plant. And if you do that at nighttime, you do run the risk of diseases, fungal diseases, taking hold. And downy mildew is one of them. So up until these resistant varieties came on the market, that's really all commercial growers could do, is just try to control the environmental conditions and take extra care not to get water on the foliage and just water the soil itself. Those are good practices anyway, and I always recommend that for many herbs, and especially basil, but there are others as well that are susceptible to fungal diseases. It's always better to avoid watering late in the day, especially in the evening, and not to splash on the leaves. But to improve your chances with basil, it's always a good idea now to try these new basils, the resistant varieties.
Good information here. This is real exciting. Now, as far as starting basil, what do you recommend as far as getting ahead on the season?
Well, the basils are among the easiest of herbs to grow, but they are sensitive to cool temperatures. They don't like temperatures less than 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And so you need to start them indoors. You can sow basil outdoors after all frost is over, but because they oftentimes still have cool nights, they're slow to get established. So we like to start them indoors. You can start them, say, at the beginning of April or middle of April even. They're pretty quick to come up from seeds. And by the time they get four or five leaves, and you're well into May and past the last frost date, and then you can plant them out into the garden.
And again, now's the time to get those seeds. I know as the word gets out, these might be short in supply.
These resistant varieties, there are only two of them right now that we have at this point. The breeders, they have a few others as well. We picked the two best, the ones that we think are from the scientific studies, the trials, have seemed to have the best properties that will be effective in a home garden or in a greenhouse if any of your listeners are growing basil in their small hobby greenhouse or commercial growers as well. So we picked the two best. There are a few other varieties as well. But most of the basils out there are sensitive or susceptible to the downy mildew. And I suspect the resistant varieties are going to sell out quickly. So I do recommend people, if they're interested in growing these, to order early.
And even if you do have seeds from years prior, folks, you may want to get the new ones anyway.
Basil seeds actually do last a long time, in contrast to many, many other herbs. A lot of the other herbs might only last half a year or maybe at most a couple of years. Basil seeds can last 10 years easily. But nevertheless, what they might not last is selling out.
I did not know that. That is interesting. I always thought because of the size of the seed, generally small seeds don't have a very long shelf life.
You could say that as a general principle, but basil, all the basils are really long-lived varieties. As a seed company, we love them. We can buy in larger quantities and keep them in storage, and they will be good for years to come. So no problem with basil, but that's unique. There are not many herbs and other flowers that last as long as basil.
Now, as we're shopping on your website, you have other fantastic and fun options available through the Seed Zoo.
Oh, yes, of course. For many years, we've offered food plants. It's focused on food plants from around the world, very limited amounts of seed. What happens there is we have plant explorers that go around the world and find unusual seeds, and you bring back maybe a handful of seeds. That's it. And we offer them. We might only get 100 packets of seeds, or in some cases we've only had a dozen packets of seeds available before they sell out. And because the explorers are going to different parts of the world every year, they won't necessarily revisit the same area where they formerly picked up some interesting seeds. So these seeds don't last. Once they run out, they're pretty much, that's it. You won't get a chance to get them. And they tend to be traditional varieties, traditional strains from around the world, some from Africa, some from Asia, from Europe, and around the world, from Mexico. So it's a fun part of what we do here. It's certainly not a moneymaker for us. It's all about a passion for these unusual strains of food plants from around the world, many of which are threatened. traditionally have been in the hands of one or two families. And if those families don't pass on the tradition of growing these plants and collecting the seeds and saving the seeds for the next year's crop, then those varieties are lost forever. So we've tried through SeedZoo to try to preserve some of these by making them available to gardeners throughout North America. And a few of them have actually gone on to become commercialized because they turned out to be really special and interesting varieties.
It's such a different paradigm than most other seed companies where they'll get seeds and then they'll grow them up and then sell them. Your first line here, folks, you'll get the first trials on some of these, and you become your own distribution system as you save your own seeds from what you grow.
That's exactly right. That's how the system works. So it's a fun thing. I think the dedicated gardeners out there who happen to be passionate about food security, for instance, will really appreciate trying out some of these varieties.
I've seen fantastic items like different types of beans. I've seen different melons. I've seen different options out there. Different tomatoes I've seen over the years. It's always different. Every time I check the site, there's always something unique there.
That's right. And we never know from one year to the next. As I say, once the handful of seeds is gone, that variety is gone and is to be replaced by something else that we might collect from somewhere else in the world. So it's interesting in that fashion. It's not like going to a regular seed website and you see the same seeds year in, year out, maybe a few newer things introduced from one year to the next, but for the most part, you see the same items. SeedZoo isn't like that at all.
It is entirely different. It's an opportunity for you to tour the world without getting out of your backyard.
That's right, yeah.
Again, where's the website? How do they find you?
You can get to us at richters.com. That's richters.com.
Check it out. Anything else you'd like to share with folks out there?
We love it when people pick up something different, something new for the garden. Yes, of course, everyone wants their beans and their tomatoes and the basic herbs, your basils and the chives and so on and so forth. But try something different. There's a lot out there, a lot of it interesting. So this is a good year to try some violas, but there are so many other options out there. There is no shortage of options to try. So I always recommend people try at least a couple of different things that they wouldn't otherwise grow and have fun with them.
Well, that is truly what makes gardening fun and exciting. It makes an adventure because you are trying different things, and you never know what that surprise is going to be for this summer. And again, where's the website? How do they find you?
It's richters.com, richters.com.
Mr. Conrad Richter joining us online once again with Richter's Herbs. Thank you again for taking a few minutes with us today.
Oh, what a pleasure. Thank you.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Ricky, my man.
Hey, headed out on the lake, I see.
These fish aren't going to catch themselves, am I right?
Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you. That's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. And he never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. So whether you're ice fishing, predator hunting, snowshoeing, or winter camping, Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment for your outdoor adventure. So when it's cold outside, that's the time to come and see what's hot inside at Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
How prepared is your family if a wildfire shows up at your doorstep, or a flood, or an earthquake? You can't just turn away a natural disaster. That's why it's important to go to ready.gov/plan now. It has the tools and tips you need to make an emergency plan with your family. So if disaster comes knocking,
let's go.
You'll be ready to help keep your family safe.
It's just a pizza.
Yes.
Make a plan today.
Don't let your next family outing end in tragedy. Don't drink and ride. Driving an OHV under the influence of alcohol is no different than driving your car under the influence of alcohol. Law enforcement officers will be out checking riders and operators of OHVs. You could end up seeing jail time, loss of driver's license, the same stiff penalties that apply to operating a car. This message is from the Utah Division of Parks and Recreation. Ride responsibly.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier, all with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious? And all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world. Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Sheep and cattle ranching are an important part of rural Utah since the pioneers settled the valleys. Music on the Way celebrates one sheep rancher's life next on Western Life Radio.
Never
Never drink and ride. Alcohol and snowmobiles do not mix. Alcohol slows down your physical and mental reactions, affecting balance, coordination, and most importantly, judgment. It also greatly reduces your risk of hypothermia. Know how prescription drugs affect you before riding. This information is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Feed My Sheep celebrates the life of one sheep rancher, Bryn Hill, joins us with its story.
You talk about writing a song for ranchers who've passed on. This is a song about a rancher who's passed on. His name is Joe Broadbent. And Joe and his brother took over a ranch from their father in Western Wyoming, south of Evanston, and they run sheep and cattle there. And these guys just did it the right way. They built this ranch over time. And Joe's just an amazing guy. He's a philanthropist and one of the greatest guys. He was killed a couple of years ago in Provo Canyon. He changed a tire on his stock trailer. He'd gone to take some lambs down to the auction. And on his way back, he shredded a tire off and was fixing his tire when he was hit by a car in Provo Canyon and killed. So, a tragic death. Joe was kind of one of these guys that I think was ready at any time to meet his maker. Just had his priorities straight in life. And spending time on the ranch this year up there, I really just got a chance to really think a whole lot about Joe and the friendship that I had with him and the force that he was in his community and in the ranching community. And that's kind of where this song, Feed My Sheep, comes from.
I can hear you in the whisper of the aspen leaves that shimmer in the wind. And I can see you in the gold Wyoming sunrise that's breaking once again. And I feel you in the meadows and the timber and the sage. And I remember this from all the things you used to say. If you love me, feed my sheep. And the Lord will your soul forever keep. On these mountains high and in the canyons deep. If you love me, feed my...
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Hi, I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year. And while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
He's leading the way along the back roads less traveled, exploring the woodlands, the red rocks and streams. He's sharing his campfire from season to season, new places and people with stories and dreams. Through cadence of nature, the wilderness beckons. A song of the mountains rings out through the trees. The voice of the backcountry echoes forever. It carries the message, live wild and free. Wild and free. The song of the mountains is calling to me. Wild.
folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.